On your inserts, we have two scripture passages, and the first one is from the Old Testament prophet Hosea, and he's an Old Testament prophet who is speaking as the voice of God, because that's what prophets do, and Hosea uses some incredibly vivid imagery, to say the least, as he's describing God's fierce love, and he does so as an illustration of God's response and God's level of passion for those who get in between God and those who and what God loves. And the prophet Hosea says this, says, "So I will be like a lion to them, like a leopard. I will lurk by the path, like a bear robbed of her cubs. I will attack them and rip them open. Like a lion, I will devour them. A wild animal will tear them apart." I'm looking at some faces of concern out there, right? Which is, they're very intense words. And then we have from 1 Corinthians 13, which are still very incredibly powerful and resolute. It's a description of also a fierce kind of love. But this description is much softer on the ears, to put it mildly, right? And we hear these words. Let's read this one together as you have them in your bulletins, okay? "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." And may God bless our understanding of this word of abundant life. Amen. Today we're talking about love. We're talking about fierce love. We're talking about courageous love. A love that has the fortitude to hope all things and bear all things and believe all things and endure all things. And that's because we're talking about mother's love. And we're talking about God's love. Now, everyone here has had a mother at some point in their lives, right? Even though each one of our experiences is unique, on the one hand, on the other hand, I was thinking about this, and I feel like it almost seems like a lot of our mothers went to the same Mother's Institute, you know, because there are some exact phrases that come through. Just about every mother, you know, classic mother one-liners, right? Like I was thinking about this one my mother used to tell me all the time, like, "If everyone jumped off a cliff, would you?" What's the end of that one? "Would you go too?" Right? That's on page one of the manual. Right? And how about this one? "If you can't say something nice, how does that one end?"
Don't say anything
at all, right? My mom told me that a zillion times, and apparently your mother's told you too. Famous mothering words. Like, "Don't put that in your mouth. You have no idea
where it's been,"
right? And it's true. It's true. They're wise words. They're protective words, right? They are words that are intended to guide us and to save us from harm. And they do. There are some lesser known ones. I don't know if you know this one, but you have enough dirt behind your ears, you could what? You could grow potatoes. Right? All right. That's further back. That's from like on page 172. Now, of course, we've actually never known anyone who has grown potatoes in their ears. Why? Because mothers have saved us from that one, that fate. But common words of wisdom, right, that have guided many of us from the harms of life. On the other hand, you know, we think about it just to round out the picture. There's also some other words that we've probably, other words we've probably never, ever heard mothers say. Three things that we've never heard mothers say. First is, you know, hey, you don't have a tissue? Why don't you just wipe your nose on your shirt, right? Now, Father's Day is coming up in a couple weeks. And we don't know about fathers, but, you know, moms, we're talking about moms. We've never heard moms say, my God, would you just look at your clothes thrown all over the place? How creative of you. Keep it up, son. You know, last one you never heard is well, hey, if Timmy's mom says it's okay, good enough for me, right? No questions asked, right? Never heard that. Why? Why? Because mothers act and they speak out of wisdom. Secondly, mothers act and they speak out of protection, right? And so we have this scripture reading, the first one that we read. Although, yes, it is graphic. Yes, it is strong. But it reflects an incredibly powerful, fierce, protective love that moms are known for, not only throughout history, but across species. Bears, lions, leopards, right? You get between me and my kid? I don't think so, right? You're going to harm my child? Bring it, right? Like a bear robbed of her cubs. Own it, ladies. This is yours. Now, some people, you know, say, as I was reading, it's like, wow, my God, this is from Scripture? This is Scripture? Yes, it is. And not only that, but the symbolism of a mother's bear's protective love for her cubs is intended to illustrate whose jealous and protective kind of love for us. It's God's. That degree of love and protection for what God has created and for what God holds dear, right? What's also interesting about this passage, this imagery of a mother bear, is it's one of the instances in the Bible that gives us a specifically female, feminine image of God, to help us grasp a more holistic, complete understanding of what God is really about. And of course, we think of God in terms of Father, God the Shepherd, you know, God the Lord and the King, God of light and so forth, right? There's like 50 different descriptions of God in the Scriptures to help us round out our understanding. And so here we have this fabulous one of a mother bear, embodying fierce love. And so you might go, so okay, so why does this matter? It's interesting. What difference does it really make? This is the kind of spiritual love, and this is the kind of energy that we need to employ sometimes when something that God loves needs protecting. It could be God's children. It could be our children. It could be other children. It could be children halfway around the world. It could be God's creation that we have been given stewardship of to care for. It could be the least of these, the poor, that we've been specifically told how we are to treat according to Jesus. It could be spiritual non-negotiables like integrity, dignity, freedom, truth, honesty. God's gifts that when these gifts become under threat, this is specifically God's energy towards that threat or neglect. And that's where that energy may be coming from through you at times. This is spiritual energy. This is actually holy. This is good stuff as God's people to experience. And I share this particular passage sometimes, by the way, on another note. Sometimes I share it with women who are in a position where they need to advocate for themselves, or they need to advocate on behalf of their children, especially if there has been neglect or abuse. And I share it with them that spiritually we're called to this level of protective love at times. And I lift it up and you know, usually there's surprise, because we tend to limit spiritual love a lot of time as being soft and passive. And, you know, we see Jesus just kind of, you know, with the flowers and so forth. And we might forget about him turning the tables over. How about that in the temple? You know, there's turn the other cheek, and that fits so many times. But not when it comes to protecting that which cannot defend itself. That which needs advocacy. Children, the environment, honesty, freedom, the poor, all these things specifically according to Jesus. And what we look at today is that there are so many ways to be strong, so many ways to be protective and loving. Along these lines, you may already know how and why Mother's Day began. I don't know if you do, forgive me. It's a powerful story. It's actually a political story. It is part of our history. It's an important part of our history. And it was first proclaimed back in 1870. And it was proclaimed, does anybody know who created it? Who created Mother's Day? Don't say Hallmark. Anybody know? It's actually by a person who you know very well indirectly. Everyone here knows this person incredibly well indirectly. And that person is Julia Ward Howe. And how we know her is because she wrote the lyrics to, anybody know? Battle Hymn of the Republic. The Battle Hymn of the Republic was written by Julia Ward Howe. So, powerful song. She was a mother. She was a great patriot. She wrote those words in 1861. She wrote those words at the beginning of the Civil War. She wrote those words at a time when it was anticipated that war would be over in a very, very short time, almost immediately. But in 1870, after the end of the Civil War, after 620,000 soldiers, boys, died from the North and the South, 620,000. Just for some historical perspective here, in all of the wars, other wars combined, from Revolutionary War through today, 620,000 died in the Civil War, 644,000 died in all other wars combined, Americans, including World War I, World War II, Revolutionary War, all those wars, Vietnam, right? So, in 1870, after this was all done and they're living with the aftermath, she wrote a Mother's Day proclamation. And that's how Mother's Day began. Interestingly, what she had envisioned was a lot different than how we know it today. She envisioned Mother's Day as being a day dedicated by mothers nationally as a call for peace and disarmament. And what groups of mothers actually did then, following her proclamation, was that groups of mothers who had sons who had fought and died on, get this, on opposing sides of the war, horrific war, would actually get together face to face, and they would meet for the specific purpose of healing and intentionally creating a radically new and different culture of understanding, cooperation, and peace, putting national unity and welfare before politics. And I've got to say, leave it to mothers to stop the foolishness of putting politics ahead of humanity and unity. And secondly, what they did, in my opinion, makes the possibility of creating bipartisanship look like child's play in comparison to getting mothers together of sons who killed each other's sons. That's a challenge. So the original Mother's Day proclamation was this. Listen to what she wrote. Arise, arise, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts, whether your baptism be of water or of tears. Say firmly, we will not have questions answered by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands will not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We, the women of one country, will be too tender with those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From a voice of a devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe our dishonor, nor violence indicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of council. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace. Each bearing after his own time the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God. In the name of womanhood and humanity, I earnestly ask that a General Congress of Women without limit of nationality may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient to promote the alliance of this, of the different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, and the great interests of peace. Now that was, and that is, Mother's Day. That is fierce love. That is strength. That is tremendous courage, born and powered out of faith. Why? Because mothers have always been sensible and have given practical wisdom. Mothers have always ventured into dangerous and difficult territory. And we see from this that fierce doesn't mean physically violent, that fierce doesn't mean bravado, that fierce doesn't mean vociferously angry or acting like a bully, but passionately caring for and actively defending what God cares about. There are many ways to express this fierce love, and even though Mother's Day was actually very political, as you heard, it was spiritual, building bridges of peace with fierce love between mortal enemies. I don't get political intentionally, but we are in an interesting position. We're in a unique position as a congregation. Because unlike any other congregation in the entire nation, one of our own members who we've known, who we've worshiped with regularly, who we've prayed with, who we've sung with, who we've made sandwiches with for the poor, who we've known his character, his family, for many years, which no other congregation in the entire country can say, last week wrote a letter to his 36,000 employees following a very unceremonious firing, which I'm not going to get into in terms of right or wrong, but I am talking about Jim Comey, who is a member of our church and a friend. We know him. Others know him as a national figure. We know him and his kids who would stand up here and sing on Sundays. What I want to lift up is the extent to which he is a man of faith and fierce love, and how his faith came into play out of a spiritual foundation in response to that unceremonious national scene, where in response to that, he wrote a letter, which I'm not going to take the time to read. Many have read it. I would encourage you all to do so. It's fairly short. But read it for yourselves as an example, not of anger, not of vengeance, because you won't find it in there, not of weakness, because you're not going to find that in there either, but of fierce love, and dignity, and honor, and protection, and grace. There are many ways in our lives that we can express fierce love, not in pursuit of our own agenda. But God gives us fierce love inside to protect, to love, to defend, to uplift what God would have us, what God has given us to protect and to uphold. What is extraordinarily clear in our scriptures are these things that God calls each one of us to do with integrity and with truth. May each of us have courage. May each one of us love what God loves. May each one of us defend what God would have us defend, and speak out and rise up in faith. God bless you. Amen.
Dear God, our source of love and the Creator who, as the psalmist tells us, knit us together in our mother's wombs, you who are there for all the moments of our lives, we offer these prayers to you. This is a truly majestic and sparkling day, another amazing gift of your life. And what a gift it is to be alive and to be able to say to you, thank you. And so, God, on this day, we thank you that you offer us a new possibility to say yes to your offer and desire for us, to accept your gift of a full and vibrant life. And with this awareness of the many gifts you offer time and time again, we give thanks for all the women in our lives who have cared for and nurtured and protected us, and the ways, both big and small, they lift children to achieve dreams thought beyond reach. And we also remember all those who have helped fill the void when mothers die early or are absent from our lives. for grandmothers and aunts and sisters and cousins, for friends and teachers and coaches, and also for the men of the families who carry not only the love of a father, but a mother's love as well. And as a mother protects her child, so do you, God, take each one of us under your care. You're always here for us whenever we reach out to you. Some days we move along life without worry, confident in our own skills, happy with our own results. And we forget to end our day with thoughts of gratitude for you. So here and now, in this moment, we open our hearts and offer you our deepest gratitude. Here and now, we come humbly before you, thankful for all you have created us to be. Here and now, we open our minds, letting you into our deepest thoughts and asking you to shine your light of forgiveness into the deepest recesses. Here and now, we open our eyes to see your presence all around us, in the faces of the people sitting beside us and behind us, in front of us, for those who will come in and out of our lives without us ever noticing. Help us to stop and notice your face, your spirit, in each of those people, so they may also notice your spirit within each of us. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.